To start, I have an oldie but a goodie to loosen your heart up a little bit, help you out here. Two old friends, Ned and John, lived for baseball. Then one day, John died, leaving Ned inconsolable. A few weeks later, Ned heard someone calling his name. He looked up. Standing on the cloud was his old pal. "Ned," he shouted, "I have some good news and bad. The good news is there's baseball in heaven." "Great," said Ned. "What's the bad news?" "The bad news is you're pitching on Sunday." Good stuff. As we finish up our In All Things Give Thanks worship series this morning, I wanted to remind all of you of something which you already know. The path on which you find yourself, although it may have been rocky at times and poorly lit at times and not exactly clear at times, that path ends in victory. The road that you have been traveling, although you may have taken a few wrong exits, although you may have been pulled over by the authorities once or twice, although you may have experienced a flat tire or two, the road that you have been traveling ends in victory. This journey called life that you have been on, filled with setbacks and letdowns, filled with unmet expectations and shattered dreams, the journey ends in victory. But what is victory? What does that look like? The Bible gives us a very clear picture of what victory looks like. In Revelations 21:4, we're told there will come a time when He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And the one seated on the throne, that's Jesus, the one seated on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." That is victory. Isaiah 51:11 says, "So the redeemed of the Lord will return and enter Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee." That is victory. One more. Jeremiah 31:12 says, "They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will be radiant in the bounty of the Lord. The grain, the new wine, the fresh oil, and the young of the flocks and herds, their life will be like a well-watered garden, and never again will they languish." That is victory. And if you can let those words sink in, if you can let them settle into your heart, if you can let them comfort you like a warm blanket on a cold, snowy morning, you will feel peace. Maybe some relief. You'll feel happiness and joy. You'll feel contentment and gladness. You'll feel comfort and maybe a little mirth. And above all, mixed in with all of those other feelings, you will feel thankful. When you know the path, the road, the journey that you are on, no matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, when you know that it always ends in victory, you will feel thankful. Amen? The Apostle Paul knew this. He wrote to the church in Thessalonica, the letter is known as 1 Thessalonians. He wrote, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you all." This is the will of God. Different translations read, "Give thanks in every circumstance. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks whatever happens." Here's my translation. No matter what, if you're having a good day or a bad day or an ugly day, no matter what, if you're feeling strong, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling sleepy, no matter what is happening to you, for you, or because of you, in all things, give thanks. This was how Paul was able to be in prison with shackles on his hands and his feet and be singing hymns to God. I mean, that's crazy. Who does that? How do we learn to do that? This is how Paul, who had been flogged and stoned and starved and shipwrecked, is able to keep going in all things. He gives thanks. So throughout this series, we've talked about how thankfulness and gratitude help us to see more of God's blessings. We talked about how thankfulness helps us to make better decisions. Last week, we talked about how thankfulness helps us be better witnesses, telling others about God's love. Today, we're going to finish with how thankful worship is better worship, how thankfulness leads to better worship. And although the scripture found in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 34 or 35 or 36, gives us a picture of what giving thanks in all things looks like, singing praises while shackled with your hands and feet in a cold cell, we still haven't been really given a good answer to how you do that. Paul does have an answer, though. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about a problem that he has. He calls it a thorn in my flesh. He says, "Three times I've pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Three times, that means he really, really wants it gone. But God answers him with this. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul gets an answer to his prayer that he doesn't want. He says, "God, please remove this thorn." And God says, "Nah, we're going to leave it there." So what does he do? Before I answer, let me ask you, what do you do when you get an answer to prayer that you don't want, you don't like? Do you question it? God, are you sure? Do you doubt it? Maybe I didn't hear you correctly, God. Maybe you really do want me to buy that sports car or a new truck or a vacation home. Maybe it's just not coming out right. I'm not listening to you correctly. Do you ignore it? You know what Paul does when he gets an answer from God that he doesn't like? He embraces it. He embraces it. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And there you have your answer for how we can possibly give thanks in all things. For Paul, the harder things get, insults, hardship, persecutions, difficulties, and the weaker he gets, the more God's power flows through him. For my power is made perfect in weakness. This is important. This can change your life. None of us like feeling weak. None of us like feeling vulnerable. None of us like feeling frail and faint and feeble, broken down and powerless. I know I don't. Yet Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong. Why? God says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, weakness gets you out of the way and lets God in. Weakness forces you to stop relying on yourself and start relying on God. Weakness forces you to admit the very thing that none of us want to admit, that we are not strong enough, and we are not smart enough, and we are not tough enough, and we are not powerful enough to do life on our own, and that we truly and fully and desperately need God. In all things, give thanks. This is life-changing. The very thing we're fighting, God says, let go and let me in. The very thing we're trying so hard to hide from ourselves and everyone else around us, God says, admit it, embrace it, and let me in. The very thing we're praying so hard for God to take away, God says, quit focusing on that and start focusing on me. And that's what thankful worship does. It shifts our focus from us to God. It shifts our focus from our weakness to His strength, from our frailty to His power. In all things, give thanks. The second thing thankful worship does is change our reason for worshiping. If thankful worship changes our focus from us to God, then it also changes our reason. Can we admit this? I'll admit it. Most people come to church to get something out of it rather than to put something into it. Most people want to feel better when they leave the church than when they came in. And trust me, I want that to happen too. I really do. But it's less likely to happen when that's our primary goal. What's in it for me? It's called a consumer mentality, and it can ruin a church. What can I get out of it? But when we shift our focus in thankful worship to God instead of us, then our reason for worshiping is less, God, fix me and heal me and bless me. It's less of that, and it's more, God, you are amazing. God, you are praiseworthy. God, you are faithful. It's less, God, fix my bank account and fix my relationships and fix my sense of security. And it is more, God, you are loving and kind and gracious. It's more, God, you are El Roy. That's an Old Testament name for God. It means the God who sees me. It's more, God, you are Yahweh Rapha. That means the God who heals me. It's more, God, you are Yahweh Yira, the God who provides. It's more, God, you are Yahweh Ra, the God who is my shepherd. I could go on and on and on throughout the Old Testament. Listen to me. When we change our focus, when we change our reason for worshiping from God, fix me, heal me, bless me, to God, you are amazing. That shift in focus allows God to fix us, heal us, bless us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In all things, give thanks. One more thing thankful worship does, and this ties in with changing our focus from us to God. It ties in with changing our reason for worshiping. Thankful worship lowers expectations and raises exaltations. Say that 10 times fast. Lowers expectations and raises exaltations. What does that even mean? Thankful worship helps you go from God, why is this happening to me? To God, you are powerful and you keep your promises and I will trust you. Thankful worship helps you go from God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, to God, you are my protector and you are my shield and I will rely on you. Thankful worship helps you go from God, take this thorn from my flesh. God, take this sickness from my body. God, take this addiction out of my heart. To God, when I am weak, you are strong. God, when I am powerless, you are powerful. God, when I am at my end, you are just beginning. God, when I am empty and broken and losing hope, when I am out of options and I am out of energy, that's when I need to buckle my seatbelt and get ready, because that's when you, God, are stepping in. And that's when you are getting started. That's when you, Almighty God, are taking over and bringing healing and cleansing and bringing redemption and wholeness. That's when you, Almighty God, are bringing salvation with and through your Son, Jesus. And for that and all things, I will give thanks. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father God, that thing that we're hiding, that thing that we're praying that you'll take away, we give that up to you today. We're going to stop hiding it. That weakness will let you in. That'll let the Holy Spirit in and strengthen us and give us your power and your grace and your love and your compassion. So we're thankful for that today. In all things, we give thanks to you. We lift this up in and through your Son, Jesus. Amen.